Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We are joined by our good buddy Danny Cannell. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff semifinal game and champion lines, along with a plethora of college football props. Danny, thank you, as always, for carving time out with us in the Northwest. How are we today, man?
What is up, gentlemen? How we doing? It's got to be a great time to be around that Oregon Duck territory.
You know,
fired up to talk to you guys.
You know, life's not so bad up here. You know, whether we went to Oregon or not, you know, those guys help pay our paychecks. So we're quite happy that they're here in the semifinals. Let's get right into it, Danny, about that. You look at this Peach Bowl, the rematch between Indiana and Oregon. And I think from a national perspective, it's very easy to fall in love with this Mendoza, Cignetti, IU situation going on, especially in the modern landscape of college football. Do you see this as just them as a wagon, or does the rematch possibility create something that other people may not be seeing?
Oh, I think it creates something people might not be seeing. I've felt all along that Oregon was being slept on from the off season when, and I know it's hard to say they're being slept on when I think they were, you know, probably what were they, preseason number 7 or 8 in the rankings. So it was hard, but no one was really picking them to win the national championship. No one was picking them to win the Big Ten. It was kind of flying under the radar, and I thought they were being slept on. And I think once I think at the end of the regular season, teams were like not even talking about them, and yet they get into the college football playoff. When they got in the playoff, I think people were like, they're not going to do any damage. I picked them to go all the way to the championship game. I picked them to win the national championship. So I am clearly somebody that's a believer in what Dan Lanning and the squad can do. So, yeah, I think absolutely. I think they're flying under the radar. I think they have a roster that's as talented as anybody. I think I thought from 12 teams, now down to 4. I think it's as wide open as I've seen it in there. You know, for the majority of the season, it was, is Ohio State, you know, that team? And then it was, you know, would you take Ohio State or the field? And there was, oh, I might take Ohio State. Then Indiana beats them. It's like, oh, is it Indiana or the field? You know, and then what Indiana did to Alabama, it's like, oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, that Alabama team was so overrated. I loved Indiana in that game. I did not think that was going to be close. Now, I probably thought it would have been, you know, 24-10 would have been a bit. I mean, they dominated. But, like, it was still there. And then I think the reason the Oregon is still being slept on is because they haven't been super impressive yet. Like, at any point, like against James Madison, while they completely dominated, they gave up 3 touchdowns late and made the score. Like, all right. So it wasn't a, you know, super controlled blowout. I was at the Orange Bowl. I would have liked to have seen more from the offense. And so people are talking about that. But did anybody notice the defense pitched the shutout? Like, anybody talk about that? So – And they've had injuries all throughout. Now they've got an injury again with Davison out. So they've just been dealing with a lot. I don't think people have, like, really taken them as a serious national championship contender. I do think they'll have to have their best game yet, but I'm betting that they're still going to get it because I don't think they've had a complete game, maybe all season long, you know, that they've played great from start to finish on both sides of the ball. And I do also think they're good enough. We don't have to play perfect. But I do think against Indiana, they're going to have their best performance of the year.
Well, Dane, before we force you to talk about Miami, which I'm sure you love to do, you mentioned it, that Davison injury. Without Davison and with Jaden Lamar, 2 of their top 4 running backs are gone. When you look at, you know, what Oregon has asked Dante Moore to do this year, he's been very good, but at times he's been a very slow starter. When you look at this Indiana team and how they played Oregon in the first game, is this a game, when you look at Dante, does he have to be, they don't have to play perfect, but does this have to be like the most prolific Dante Moore game we've seen of him yet for them to win this?
He's going to have to be the sharpest. I don't think he has to throw it for 400 yards. I don't think he has to go out there and just put the team on his back, but he's got to play a little sharper. And that's the thing that concerned me, you know, a couple interceptions versus James Madison. And, you know, he started off, it's actually funny because he started off pretty strong against Texas Tech. And he was kind of, you know, hit Sadiq a couple times. And, you know, it looked like, oh, man, they could just score at will. And then just a couple careless, even the ball handling, the ball when he put it on the ground, it was like they just didn't look sharp. This game, he's going to have to, you know, play a lot sharper. Like that's to me is what he'll have to do. So, you know, and the good news is, like, I do think Noah Whittington is somebody who can carry the load. So, but then I worry about D'Air Hill as a younger back. Like, then you worry about pass protections for, you know, just a different back that's in there. That's what worries me about the running back position. But, yeah, I do think Dante Moore does need to step up and does need to have a better game. Because, you know, he's been the talk of college football, especially I'm watching SportsCenter this morning and get up, and is it Mendoza or Moore? And I was talking about with my co-host on Sirius, Dusty Dvorak, and we're like, and don't take me wrong, because I love him, but he is a little overrated from the production standpoint. Like, I'll ask you guys, because you guys are probably way more familiar with this. What's his best game where it was like lights out, where it just wowed you?
What we tend to say is, I mean, against inferior opponents, Dante is very, very strong. I think one thing that a lot of people up here really get into is there's like a throw against Penn State, a throw against Iowa, where you just go, wow, what was that? And I think that's kind of where people lie.
And that's kind of what I see, too. And that's why I think people are excited. I would love to see a game where you go, wow. And that, and I don't think you have to do that. Maybe it's against Miami or Ole Miss in the final. But like, another comp where CJ Stroud was a really popular quarterback coming out of Ohio State, and he didn't play, you know, he didn't have that wow moment, but he did against Georgia, ironically, in a loss that they lost on a last second field goal in the Peach Bowl in the college football playoff that really like opened up everybody's eyes and was like, okay, this guy looks, and then he goes number two overall. So I do think Dante has that in him. And granted, look how many injuries he's been dealing with too around him. You know, the receiving core has been banged up. He's been playing with different guys. So I do think that has impacted it. And again, I like him a lot. And that describes any quarterback. Go look at Fernando Mendoza's stats versus the better opponents. You know, Bama, I do not consider one of the best opponents. Like, so like that's kind of an outlier, but in the Big Ten championship game, you know, he wasn't spectacular. So I think that describes a lot of college quarterbacks, a lot of guys' stat pad, you know, that's just kind of part of the territory.
Yeah, he's Danny Cannell, courtesy of Bet Online. And one more quick thing, you kind of mentioned him before we get to the other game. It feels like there's a little more pressure on Dante Moore to perform at a higher level. Do you think Fernando Mendoza feels that? Or are we just, again, kind of in love with the Cignetti-Mendoza story, which is maybe one of the best of all time in college football? Does he feel that same pressure, or is he playing house money?
I think he's playing a little bit more with house money. You know, he won the Heisman Trophy. He didn't lose a game. He's, you know, his record is spotless on there. He did just beat Bama and lit him up, you know? So I do think he's playing with a little bit of house money, but you guys know how this is. One bad game, you know, and all of a sudden everybody turns on you. And then if Dante outplays him, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if most draft gurus, you hear him tomorrow, you know, or Saturday, talking about, oh, Dante Moore's the number one pick. Why would you want Fernando Mendoza, who cratered on that stage? It's just that's life at that in that stratosphere when you're talked about as the number one or number two quarterback overall in the NFL draft. But I think both of these guys, like I think both of them do a phenomenal job of don't letting the pressure get to them. All this ancillary pressure of, you know, are you going to win a national championship? I think both of them. And they're totally different, you know, personalities. I only met Dante for the first time, but I was blown away with how comfortable he was in his own skin, very mature, you know, very calm, cool. And then you got Fernando, who's like America's choir boy. And I say that in a good way. Like, love him. Like, he's like the perfect kid. Like, but ultimately, I think both of them have really good foundations and where they, the way they were raised, where they come from, their background, they are just very comfortable. Where I don't think they rely on, I have to win this game in order to justify myself as a quarterback. I think both of them are really comfortable in their own skin.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, Danny, we delayed long enough. You got to talk about Miami here a little bit.
Yeah.
This Miami team comes in as the 10 seed in the playoffs, but they're favored in this game. Why is Miami favored despite what we have seen from Ole Miss? Ole Miss's only loss in the entire season is on the road at Georgia in a game that they had control of. What is it about? I know it's the Lane Kiffin of it all, but why is this Ole Miss team still not getting the credit they probably deserve?
So, again, full disclosure, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I did pick Miami and Oregon in the national championship game. So I've been very bullish on Miami. I get the question about Ole Miss. Their schedule, and I know they play in the almighty SEC where every game is like playing the 85 Chicago Bears. That's the narrative. Their schedule was one of the lightest out there. So their non-conference games were extremely easy. They had the Citadel, they had Georgia State, they had Tulane, and one other cakewalk, you know, Washington State, who they actually struggled with, 24-21.
Ouch, Danny, easy there. I'm alumni, easy.
I'm sorry. Washington State played a bunch of teams tough. I know they had a pretty strong year. But, and then you go through the SEC slate, and they did beat Oklahoma on the road, which was really good. I think it's a lot of, but like they beat Florida, wasn't that good this year. LSU, coach was fired. Arkansas, coach was fired. Kentucky, you know, like there's a coach was
fired.
You know, like so I look at all these and I'm just like, I think that's why they weren't the SEC team that went through the gauntlet. And even in the playoffs, you know, they got through Tulane, which was kind of a pushover. Now, Georgia, that is a big win, but I think Georgia wasn't the Georgia they used to be. Mm. So I do think that's the reason, but watch out for Trinidad Chambliss, because that dude is special. I like Miami in the game, but Trinidad Chambliss is the wild card. I am betting that he doesn't have the type of game that he did against Georgia. If he does, Miami's going to get beat.
Danny, we'll get you out on this. In terms of the Miami Ole Miss game, there's a lot of chatter up here about Mario Cristobal, as you can imagine. From your perspective, because we can be in a little bit of a bubble up here, has the narrative changed on Mario, or does he need to get this one last? Did he just need to win a playoff game to kind of shed some naysayers, or should he get one more to kind of cement that what he's doing at Miami is for real?
I think he's silenced all the critics of one. I was one, you know, I was very hard on him as I, you know, I'm a Florida State guy. I just, you know, I get all the late game decision making, the not taking a knee against Georgia Tech. In this year alone, his conservative style almost cost him a spot in the playoffs because he should have beaten Notre Dame by more points, but he kind of sat in the lead. I was there in Tallahassee watching play Florida State. They were up 28-3, let off the gas. Florida State come back, and the score didn't look that like a blowout like it was. But you know what I think ironically helped them? The style points that they needed to get into this. At the end of the season, you know, they had four games left, and they had two losses, and everyone's like, they have to blow out everybody. And they did, and they started throwing the ball in the fourth quarter, and it worked. I think that was a huge thing for Mario Cristobal to like, maybe, I don't know if he learned it yet or if it, you know, cause he's been very conservative in this playoff cause he hasn't had to be aggressive. But I do think even the most critical person of Mario Cristobal has been like, I didn't see this team going this far. So I think he is truly playing with house money. If they get beat against Ole Miss, I think it stings, but I think you're feeling really good about the future and feeling like, all right, we've got our guy. He can bring this place where we want to go.
He's Danny Cannell, comes on courtesy of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff semifinal game and champion lines, along with a plethora of college football playoff props. Danny, thanks so much. Maybe we'll swing around for the Natty and catch up with you again.
Awesome. I'd love to. Good luck to your Ducks.
Thanks, amigo. We'll catch you next time. That is Danny Cannell. Again, check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff semifinal game and champion lines, along with a plethora of CFP props. A big shout out to our boy Jimmy for hooking us up with Danny Cannell.